I'm back, but there's 8 different points. That's not hardly as bad as Tommy had that one time, but that's a little more than normal. And I never will let him live that down, forget that. And preached had about 15, 16 points, and we've always remembered that. Every time I get more than 4 or 5, I think of Tommy and the things that involved in that and the fun that we had with it. I pray for all of our young men that are out preaching the gospel. I certainly appreciate what the Lord has done in their lives. And Brother Gene Dame was at the meeting there in Marion this week. He preached Friday. And Gene preached a good message. And I thank the Lord for all of our fellows that are out preaching and whatever capacity God's using them in. We certainly are grateful for that. While he's getting all those passed out, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 where we'll be. Yes. All right. Time to be going down to Texas there. Well, that's a job, isn't it? I'm telling you. Oh, yeah, that's a real chore to take care of grandchildren. I told you I wasn't going there. That's a joke on that side of the church, I guess. Wasn't a joke. Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. And verse number 7. We'll be here in Hebrews and just a couple of times in Genesis. Of course, you think about Noah. Noah the constructor. Builder of the ark. And always have to go back to the book of Genesis to get a lot of the details, but primarily tonight I'm going to try to stay right here in most of the time here in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. Let's read that together, and as we continue on with our series on the heroes of the faith. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You'll notice verse number 7 starts with the two words, by faith. It ends with the same two words, by faith. And everything that Noah did, I believe, was by faith. Let's read that verse again and note how that we will break it up a little bit tonight. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This third man that we are looking at in this passage of Scripture of Hebrews chapter 11 is certainly no stranger to the person that is acquainted at all with the Scripture. We know that Noah is one of the elders here that obtained a good report. This is how the writer of Hebrews gives us, it says, for by it, talking about faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then the rest, most of the rest of the book of the chapter 11 of Hebrews is dealing with those heroes or those elders that obtained a good report by faith. And by the way, that's the only way you're going to have a good report. That's the only way you're going to be in good standing with God, because we found out last week that without faith, it is impossible to please God when we studied the man by the name of Enoch. But tonight we look at Noah. He is the one that had the job or the privilege, I guess we could say, of building the ark. One of the greatest construction jobs that was ever recorded in its Scripture. Now there's been some great constructions and many things spoken of in the Bible that were built. You have the tabernacle that was put together. You have the Solomon's temple. And, of course, that was a great construction job. But I don't believe any of them sort of match up to the ark that Noah built, because of the time frame of how long it took and then the time in which it was built before the flood, and so many differences in the earth. And so this is a construction job that is a little different than any that is mentioned in any of the places of the Bible. And it gives us a great illustration and a teaching of faith. By faith being warned of God, he went out and he did what God told him to do. I believe God put upon him a task and a job that had to be accomplished, had to be done. And so as a believer by faith, he did what the Lord told him to do and probably didn't even understand all that he was doing. You have to remember that Noah was building a boat in the desert. And he was building not only just a boat, but he was building a huge vessel that would carry the animals of creation and carry the people. And so it was there in the middle of nowhere. And I'm sure there was much opposition to him. But we know that if we're acquainted at all with the Scripture, we know a little bit about Noah and the ark in which he built. I want us to look at this one verse tonight primarily, and we may go back to Genesis one or two times, but primarily we'll be here in this verse tonight. And notice, first of all, I have these listed as number 1, 2, 3, and 4 on down. The premise of faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The reason for faith, the warning that came from God, is the reason why that Noah built the ark. God warned him, God told him, God gave him direction and gave him understanding that there was an impending judgment that was going to come upon this earth. The Bible says God told Noah, said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." And so Noah understood that there was a time coming when the Spirit of God would no longer deal and that the judgment of God would fall. Faith here looked upon this as the warning from God, and he was doing some things that had not been seen as yet. He was doing some things that had not been thought about. This warning come from God. The warning told them that this is the reason why, and faith had to move upon what God told him to do. And sometimes we don't understand all the ins and outs, and we don't understand and we don't see the end result, but we move by faith, believing that God would help us in what he directs us to do. Faith is not a self-made outlook. It's not something that we try to figure out. I'm afraid too many times people use that word faith in something that they have tried to figure out or maybe have already figured it out and say, "Well, we're doing this by faith, and there's step one, step two, step three," and faith just doesn't work that way. And so biblical faith is based upon principles which God gives you elsewhere and has been given to us in the Bible. The principle that that Noah used was that God warned him. God gave him a warning that there's something going to take place. He warned him that there was a need, and that need was a vessel that would hold the animals and hold the people because God was going to send a flood. Now, they'd never heard that word flood. They'd never heard the word deluge or a flood because they were living before that. And the Scripture tells us that God watered the earth with a fine mist and with a dew. So the source of warning here was being warned of God. That gives it top priority. When God speaks, that means you better listen. When God gives us direction, that means we better go to him, and we can trust his word and can trust the warning that God gives us. We're living in these days, as the Bible says, in the last days, we're going to be like the days of Noah. And so therefore we can see the warning that came to Noah. We find that same warning carried over to our generation, and it is a warning of judgment upon wickedness and upon sin. And so therefore we have the same warning that Noah had, and we better give it top priority. We better understand it. We better know it's important, because one of these days, just as God shut the door in the ark, one of these days God's going to shut the door of grace to people, and the judgment of God will fall upon this earth, and we call that the tribulation. And so what Noah went through is a prerequisite or a looking forward to when Jesus shall come again. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He also says, as the days of Lot were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man. But we're dealing with Noah tonight, and Noah lived in a world and a generation that disbelieved God. They lived in a generation that would not trust the Lord, and so God gave him a warning. Noah, you're going to have to build an ark. And so he was warned of God, and he was warned of God personally. He was that servant of God, that special individual that lived in a society that was a wicked society, it was an ungodly generation, and God picked out one man and said, Noah, I want you to do this for me. And so what a special favor, a special place that God gave to Noah. And I believe that the reasoning behind that is not that Noah was some superhuman person or that he maybe was super spiritual, but it is said of him, as it was said also of Enoch, that he walked with God. Noah is the only other person in the Scripture other than Enoch. Those are the only two in the Scripture that is said that they walked with God. And so as Noah walked with the Lord, God was giving him warning. God was revealing to him. Now, we have to remember, Noah didn't have Genesis to read. Noah didn't have anything to read. Noah had maybe just a few segments of some things that had been spoken by some of the other men like Enoch and others, but they didn't have the Scripture like we have. And so as Noah walked with God, God was revealing him little by little his will for him. And the subject here is that there's some things going to happen that you haven't seen yet. There's some things going to take place that you don't understand, Noah. And so I'm warning you and I'm telling you that you must build the ark. And of course, you go back to Genesis, you'll find that as God talked with Noah, he gave him the dimensions. He gave them how wide the ark was. He gave them how long it was. He gave them how to build it, the blueprint of it, how to have the three levels of floors upon it, how to have one door and one window, and all that is representative of different things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Noah was being warned of God, and he was told by God that there's some things going to take place that you've never seen yet. You've never experienced that. You see, there'd never been a flood upon the earth. The other day when we was having so much rain, I heard the warnings on the different stations that was under a flash flood warning. Well, Noah had never had that. There had never been a flash flood warning in Noah's day. In fact, I personally do not believe that there had ever been any rain on Noah's day. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and... the Scripture tells you how God took care of the earth that he had created. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 5 and 6, the Bible says here, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." Now, this is even before the creation of Adam. And the plants were growing, the herbs were growing, and the Bible says, "For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth." Now, verse 6 tells you how God watered it. "And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Now, that's sort of like I picture one big system of water. You know, a lot of folks have these little things sitting around their yard in the summertime. Every once in a while they'll go off and go pew, 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 and water's coming out of the ground. That's man-made. That's self-made. But the Bible says here that God let the mist of the earth from the ground come up and water the earth. And so there's no indication that changed even with the fall of man. There's no indication that there was any kind of flooding or any kind of raining until the Bible says God broke up the fountains of the deep and he opened the skies of the heavens and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But that really wasn't what flooded the earth. Now the rain, of course, coming down, but what really flooded the earth was at the fountains of the deep that God was watering this earth was to begin with, they were broken up, and a deluge came from beneath and rained from above. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, from on the highest hill, the water was above it, I think the scripture says, 15 cubits. And so we find that God warned Noah of something that had never taken place, something that was not seen as yet, and he warned him of judgment that was to come. Now you'll notice here the action of Noah, and the next three words says that he moved with fear. He was prompted by God to do these things, and the Bible says he moved with fear. Now that means he moved to do God's work and moved to do God's will. This fear that we're talking about here is a fear that caused him to behave in a holy manner, and as a result of the faith that he had in the one that was speaking to him. It's not a cowardly fear, but it's a holy fear. We can be afraid of things and have a fear that way, but God doesn't want us to fear him in that respect. God wants us to have a reverence to the Almighty, a fear of God. And the Bible says here that Noah moved with fear. I believe he had a reverence toward God. I believe he had understood the holiness of God. And when God told him, and God warned him and gave him dimensions and all that about the ark, the scripture says here that Noah moved with fear. That meant he went to work. He got busy knowing the judgment of God was impending and was coming upon a generation that had mocked him and made fun of God and had given to God these problems in a society that the scripture says that every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. Now that's the condition that Noah lived in. The heart of man, the inner part of man, everything. The Bible says he's eating and drinking, giving in marriage until the day came and the Lord shut the door and the flood came and they knew not until God shut the door. They should have known because Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. And I believe he preached all that time that he was preparing the ark. There was a 120-year period of time that God gave to Noah to proclaim the gospel and proclaim the message and proclaim the word of God that judgment was coming. That generation looked at Noah about like our generation looks at us. They look at us strangely and say, we're crazy and we are old-fashioned. We have advanced farther than that. There's no such thing as a God that's going to judge. Our God loves everybody. He's not going to judge anybody. He's not going to do that. He loves us. He cares about us. And one of these days, they're going to find they're under the judgment of God before they realize it and before they know it. The other side of God's love is God's judgment. And His wrath will fall. And so the Bible says here that Noah moved with fear. He began to work. He began to do the job that God had told him to do. And he prepared an ark. I put here the perspiration of faith. I believe he probably had a little bit of sweat on his face. I believe it was hard work. I don't believe he had a lot of help. I believe it was difficult work. And the Bible says he prepared. And don't look at my typing error here that my spell checker didn't get because it's not spell wrong. He prepared an ark, not A-N-D ark. He prepared an ark. He got busy. He knew God's warning. He knew God's judgment. He was moving with fear, and he prepared an ark. Genesis tells us that it would be a long, hard time of work because 120 years. Now, we think that's a long time, but that was just a little time compared to them. But still, 120 years. Same, the years are no different. I believe the days in Genesis are like the days right now, 24-hour period of time. I believe the year was just like our year. A certain amount of days make up a year. We know 365 and a fourth day make up one total year, and every 4 years we have a leap year because we have to make up that that's calculated there. And it's that way every year. It was that way with Noah also. And so the Bible says he worked, and he worked hard. And he prepared an ark. I don't know how he built it. He didn't have skill saw. He didn't have DeWalt. He didn't have any of those things. But the Bible says he prepared an ark and he worked hard and he did those things that God had told him to do because he had faith in God. By faith he did it. By faith, Noah, you can jump down there. By faith, Noah moved with fear. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. He did those things because God had told him to do. And by the way, faith sometimes involves some hard work. Sometimes faith will be a job. Sometimes if we exercise our faith, it'll put us into some predicaments. It'll put us in some areas of hardship. And that's why you don't find too many lazy people saying that they have faith. That's why you don't find too many people that don't want to work. They don't talk too much about faith. They'd rather talk about welfare system. They'd rather talk about what I can do or what you can do for me and not what I can do for you. And so faith here produced a work in Noah's life that was a hard work, that was a difficult time, but he performed it. The Bible says he prepared. He prepared an ark. That word prepared means to be fully equipped and to make ready. I believe when God gave him the dimensions, gave him the blueprint of the ark, I believe Noah began to work diligently. And he prepared it, fully equipped, and made it ready, because one day the thing was going to have to float. One day it's going to have to be raised up. One day it couldn't leak. And so God gave him all the ways and the how-to build something that he had never built, to build something that nobody had ever built, nobody had ever seen, and gave him the understanding that if he did that, it would be to the saving of his household. It'd be to the conclusion of a life that would be well spent for the Lord. Faith is always obedient. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 6:22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." I don't know all that he commanded him, but I do know one thing. All that God commanded him, he did. He was faithful to the Lord. And faithfulness, of course, is obedience. Faith will take care of the details, and faith will endeavor to do the best job possible. I don't believe faithful, if you're doing it right, doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, doing it for the work of God now. I don't believe it. You ought to try to cut corners and cut things. I believe I'll do it the best of our ability to serve God. And I believe that's what Noah did. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark. He built it according to God's design. And everything God told him, God gave him all of that. And the Bible says everything that God commanded him, so did he. He did those things. So there's the performance of faith, to perform the work, to perform the duty, to perform the job that God gives us to do. Now, number five here is the persecuting of faith. Or we could say, in our day and time, the persecuting of the faithful. There is always persecution that goes along with serving God. We do not have to wonder if there was any persecution. Here is a grown man making a boat out in the middle of a dry land, talking about that God's going to send rain, and they said, "What's rain? God's going to send a flood." Well, what's a flood? And so here's a man out in the middle of nowhere preparing an ark, following the direction that God gave him. And I certainly think as he preached on the flood and preached on the water that was going to come, I put down here, I'm sure down at the bars there's plenty of Noah jokes. You say, why do you think there's bars? The Bible says they're eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. They were doing all the carousing and doing all the things that human nature tells us to do and human nature directs us to do. And the Bible says in Matthew 24:38, "For as it was as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away." They had their jokes, they had their persecutions, they had their snarling looks at him, but one day God shut the door and one day it began to rain. Now, I've said this probably every time I mention Noah. Get out of your mind that Noah had to rush in the ark because it started raining. He didn't have to rush in. He'd been in there 7 days with the door shut before the first drop ever fell. So forget about what Hollywood tells us and get back to the Scripture. And he was in the ark, and I'm sure they said, "Noah, what are you doing in there?" Well, those people are no different than the heathen of our world. Now, if we was to build an ark out here and say God's going to come after us, they'd look at us strangely, and rightfully so in this day and time. But if we had been directed of God, as Noah was, well, best I remember, we've been directed of the Lord. We are told to warn this world that God's going to judge them. And you know what they do? Who's God? They're sort of like Pharaoh. Say, who's God that I should obey him? Sort of like Nebuchadnezzar said, who is this God you're talking about? I'm the leader. I'm the God of this world and of this generation. And our world tonight has no respect to the God of heaven. They got every other God they respect, but they don't respect God. And they make fun and they mock and they ridicule we that call ourselves Bible-believing. I heard somebody say the other day, don't believe these Bible toters. That's on national television. Don't believe these Bible toters. Noah, what are you doing in there? What are you doing carrying a Bible? If you want to get people, even in Madisonville, Kentucky, if you want to get people to stare at you, just carry your Bible. If you want them to do this around you, just carry the black book. Take it to the hospital. Now, some of them say, are you a preacher? Well, you might not be, but they expect that out of preachers, I guess. But just take the Bible and you'll find that they'll look at you strange. And so there's persecution that goes along with this thing called faith. And here the Bible says that they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then the next part of the verse says, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. All of a sudden, they began to remember what Noah said. All of a sudden, the rain really fell. We thought we had a lot of rain this summer, this fall. Nothing compared to what Noah had. All of a sudden, all those people down at the bars told Noah jokes. They began to wonder if he was telling them the truth. Well, let's go find out from Noah. Too late. For God had shut the door. Somebody says, why did God shut the door? So Noah couldn't open it. Noah was just like any of us. He heard the screamings and the hollerings and the yellings of those on the outside. Noah may have had compassion and let some of them in when they didn't need to be there. So God shut the door, and Noah couldn't open it. I sort of put it like this. Now, this is my imagination. It's not in the Bible, so don't go. I sort of feel like that when God shut the door, shut to, in my mind, it just disappeared. He didn't know where it was. That may be right, that may not be right. It may have been there with a knob on it, but he couldn't open it. Whatever it is, he couldn't open it. And they only put one window in it, and it's in the top. So forget about your Noah's arks and all that stuff. They're good to sit around, good to pieces to talk about, but they're not scriptural. There's only one window in it, and it's in the top. And the reason is in the top because the only way Noah and his children could look was toward God. Not to look on the storm, not to look upon the waters, not to look upon the death, not to look upon the destruction, but to look upon God. And you and I tonight, if we are going to do anything for the Lord, we better keep our eyes on Him. Put here, it is better to be mocked by an ungodly world for your faith than to be rejected by God for your lack of faith. I don't know where I got that. That's not mine originally. But it's better to be mocked by an ungodly world for our faith than to be rejected by God for our lack of faith. Noah, by faith. Persecution because of the faith. But notice the next part of this verse. It says, he prepared an ark. Here's the happy part. To the saving of his house. Noah took care of his home. Noah took care of his children. Noah took care of his family. To the saving of his house. You see, this ark was provided by God for deliverance. It was provided for God by God for the salvation of his children and his wife and himself. Noah's faith resulted in the saving of his own family. And I dare say that the saving of faith that you and I have as a believer will be carried on down to the generations after us. And our children are saved because we take them to the house of God. We preach to them the Word of God. And our faith prepares them for the saving of our house. And we have the same responsibility that Noah had, is to take care of our home, to take care of our children, to take care of our grandchildren, to take care of those around us. And Noah built this ark, and he moved with fear, and he did things that he'd never done. He prepared the ark to the saving of his house. Even though the world rejected him, and even though they mocked and made fun of him, his home was secure and safe in the Lord. And that's really all he was to worry about. Faith keeps homes together. It doesn't destroy them. It doesn't defile them. It doesn't ruin homes. You used to hear it quite a bit. The family that prays together stays together. That's true. Faithful people. Faithful families. But we're seeing the disintegration of that before our very eyes. We're seeing homes torn apart. We're seeing children left to and fro. We're seeing a generation of people that know not God, and what will the next generation be? They won't even have the knowledge of God. And so, Noah's preaching saved his home. Noah's faith delivered his family. And that is number one priority, should be, in our lives as a believer. Now notice the next part. It says, he saved his own house, but it goes on, says, by the which he condemned the world. The world was condemned, but his home was safe. The word which there refers to the faith that he had and the ark that was a result of faith. You see, this ark that they got into that day, and God shut the door, that ark was a result of Noah's faith. If Noah hadn't believed God, there wouldn't have been an ark. If Noah hadn't believed God, there wouldn't have been us. It all came down to Noah. Noah's a pretty important character in the Word of God. Because God said, I'm going to destroy off of the face of the earth the man that I have created. But Noah, praise the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If it had not have been for that grace that was in Noah's heart and that faith that Noah had, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight, for we would not be. So the world was prosecuted by his faith. They found out they were wicked. That which saved his family condemned the world. Same faith. The faith that was for the saving of his household was that faith that condemned the world. They realized, oh, I should have listened. They realized, I should have listened to what Noah said instead of mocking and making fun, instead of rejecting it. I should have listened. There's going to be a world also condemned by our faith one day. They'll be prosecuted because of our faith one day when the Lord takes us. When the Lord delivers us from this wicked world and we're gone. And literally the devil has full sway upon this world. Somebody said, I heard somebody say the other day, it seems as though the devil had full control of the world. Not yet. We haven't seen anything yet. It seems as though the devil's got total control of everything, everybody, everywhere. Not yet, but he will have. Because when the Lord delivers us, we call it rapture. When the Lord delivers us and we leave this world, there's no more Holy Spirit to convict. There's no more Holy Spirit to withhold and withstrain. Now, he's going to come back. The Spirit of God will be through the preaching of the 144,000, but it's different than what we have right now. You know what restrains the world tonight from totally annihilating the child of God? It's the Holy Spirit. And one of these days, he'll be taken out as we leave here. And then the devil will have total control. And he'll think he's got it made. He'll think he's got it just like it ought to be. That's the way he wants it. The only thing is it's short-lived. It's only for 7 years. I'd rather put eternity up against 7 years any day. And so the world was condemned by the same faith that saved Noah and his family. And then here we see the purity and the prospects of faith. Became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We know what an heir is. It's someone that is in line to receive something of someone else's. The Bible says that we're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. That means what God owns, we have ownership of it also. And so what the Bible says here about Noah and his family, that he became heir of righteousness. That means he received righteousness. How did he do it? By his works. Did Noah get right with God because he built an ark? No, he built an ark because he was right with God. Did Noah get right with God because of all the works that he did? No, he did the works that he did because he was already walking with God. And God said, Noah, I've got something for you to do. I've got a warning. You need to listen. And there's a job to do. There's a work that has to be done. And Noah moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his family and the condemnation of the world. And by that, he is heir of righteousness by faith. Nothing equals, nothing exceeds a soul's salvation. The word heir, let her see here on the last one. The word heir is not limited to future possessions. That's how we think of it. What do I have in the future? But the word heir here also includes something that we've already gained. I'm not going to be a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm not going to be an heir of God. I am an heir. It's something I have already obtained. And we're just waiting for the Lord to deliver it. Hebrews tells us that the Lord's made his will and his testament. The last will and testament of what we hear about of people that pass away. Here's their will. This is what they want. Well, God has given us his will and his word. And by that, we are heirs not only of future possessions, but we're heirs already, right now. We have been redeemed, and we are saved right now. But we have more blessings from salvation in the future. I was saved back there at a particular time. I am saved, and the Bible says I shall be saved. Past, present, future tense of our salvation. So, Hebrews 11 verse 6 gives us about this hero of the faith, this man that obtained a good report. Brother, he had a good report. Says he walked with God. That's a good report just by itself. Tells us he moved with fear. Tells us he saved his house. Tells us that he prepared an ark. Tells us that he did all these things, and he condemned the world, and he became heir of righteousness by faith. He started by faith. He lived by faith. He ended up by faith. Now, Noah wasn't a perfect person. And when he comes out on the other side of the flood, we find Noah's not perfect. But certainly he was used of God. And he lived by faith. And he's listed here in this God's Hall of Fame for us to have understanding that everything we do by faith. Well, next week we'll look at Abraham. And there's quite a bit on Abraham. Not like just one verse, two verses on Enoch, one verse on Abel, one on Noah. Abraham and Sarah and the other ones, there's some more, quite a few verses. We may not do them all one night. But tonight, faith of Noah to the saving of his family. Let's stand together. And may God help us to exercise our faith in the Lord. We may not be a hero of the past. We may not obtain a good report then, but I think we can obtain a good report now. We may not have something written about us in days gone by, but we can have something written about us or something said about us that we believe God, we trust the Lord, we move by faith, we live by faith, we serve God by faith, and it's to the saving of our household. It's the saving of our family, and in doing that, we even condemn the world through Jesus Christ. I pray you have a good week this week. Keep the Lord first and foremost. Live by faith. Serve Him. And He will certainly bless us.